Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is Archie LaSalle, artist, social activist, educator. And we're talking about the project titled, Where Are All the Black People At? Archie, it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark. It's an honor to be here with you as well.
Let's first talk about Where Are All the Black People At? And this is sort of a long overdue organization. And talk to me about how it started and what its mission is.
Well, let's see. The mission, I'll start with the mission first.
Okay.
The mission is to get more black and brown artists in permanent collections in art museums, also in private collections, also to get the artist recognition as well. And I'm talking about artists of today, past artists, artists that have been overlooked by our society for whatever reason. And these are master artists. So that's our basic mission. And to bring awareness to the general public and let the museums know that the gig is up. Okay, it's up. And so it really got started. I'm a teacher as well. I was a teacher. Last year was my last year of teaching. So I used to go and take my students as well to many exhibitions around the city, down to New York, around the city here in Boston, out of the city, down to New York, as I said. And it just became aware that something is just not right. And actually, this started back in 1978 when I was a student at Mass College of Art. And it was my goal to become a fine artist. I mean, I studied with some of the best. I did research and studied all of the great masters. And so that was a goal of mine. And so after I graduated, I started teaching as well and got a few grants and traveled a bit. But primarily, when I would take students to see shows, let's say at the MFA, for instance, they would have a show called The Family. And when I went to that particular exhibition, there was not one local black photographer in that exhibition. And what really ticked me off about that was my professors was in that exhibition. A lot of my peers was in that exhibition.
Whoa.
And some of my former students was in that exhibition.
What were they missing?
So it was a beautiful exhibition. Absolutely gorgeous, the work and everything. Of course, it's the MFA, you know.
Yeah.
And so I called them and got in touch and didn't get a response. Here, lately, I have gotten a response over the past several weeks, but we're talking 2017, 2018. And so after that, there was a show of Garden Park's work, and it was an exhibition, the way it was rated, at least the way it was highlighted as work that was never seen. I've seen that work. Lots of black people have seen that work. And so they weren't talking to black artists. They were talking to the white segment of our community. And that's really offensive. And so I call them during my class time with my students present, and we had a conversation. But nobody would really talk to us and make it full circle, bring some closure to what we was asking. And so that's how where all the black people got started. I just said, I have to do something. So I went and got a lot of stickers made and put them up all around the city. My students put them up around the city, outside of museums, up and down Newberry Street. And it was just saying, where are all the black people at? And some people got offended by that, and that's good. They got offended by it because we have their attention at this point. And so now that's how it came about, where all the black people at.
I have a couple of questions, and I want to thank you, and for the benefit of the audience, the great thing about Archie is he sent me a lot of reading material too, and I can base a lot of my information about that. Talk to me about why it's important for Black artists to be in the permanent collection. What seems to happen with a lot of art museums is, like you mentioned, the photography show by Gordon Parks. Mm-hmm. They sort of trudge out a token exhibition. I guess it's okay for me to say that. That'll have a Black artist, but then it's gone. So on any given day other than when that exhibition is up, there's no representation of Black artists ever.
Right. So let's say all of our institutions, that's exactly what they've done in the past. They would have these programs that would highlight Black and brown culture, but when you dig a little deeper and you look into the permanent collection, there's hardly anybody of color in the permanent collection. And the permanent collection is the foundation of any society. If you're not in the permanent collection, you do not exist. Just look at ancient times, how people was left out. And so it was our goal to make sure. And as a photographer, I know I sent you the piece that said there's not one Black or brown artist from Massachusetts that has ever had a solo show.
That's right.
In the museums or any major art institution. Now, I stand corrected. Here recently, back in 2019, Williams College of Art Museum, they purchased 18 pieces and exhibited James Van Der Zee's work.
Right.
Okay, and that ran from January 31st to June 2nd, I think it was something like that. And so at least that was James Van Der Zee. But James Van Der Zee was living in New York, I mean, at that point. He's dead. He's no longer with us. And so this just happens time and time and time again. And so when I saw that, I asked myself, what would be the most effective way to approach this injustice? And tell you the truth, I think Black and brown artists should do a class action lawsuit against every major art institution in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I don't say that lightly, because if they get $1 from the state or one federal dollar, they have to include Black and brown artists. Now, they put up these little exhibitions one time. You can go on the wall, but you can't go in our permanent collection. That's offensive. And I say, as we all know, you're either explicit, implicit, or complicit. We all know this. And what the museums and the, I would say, all of the museum directors, all of the museum trustees, all of the board members, every curator, they have to acknowledge their lack of inclusion. And you can't just brush it off and say, well, we're moving forward. You have to be held accountable for the past actions, whether you were there at the time when it started or not. And I'm talking about Black artists, I mean Black directors, Black curators, Black trustees members. I'm talking about everybody. It's time to come to the table and just do the right thing for our society, because your museum is incomplete. If you don't have the Black and brown artists in your permanent collection, you have an incomplete museum. That's how I really feel about it. And so there are a few museums that are doing something right that I think. One is the Fitchburg Art Museum, Nick Capasso and his staff. There's Garnet at the Rose, Garnet Ankara. And also, formerly at the New Repertory Theater, Michael J. Bobbitt, who is now with the Mass Cultural Council. These are people that are really not just talking the talk, they're walking and talking and doing it. And we need more people to come to the table and be willing to do this. This is hard work. It may be uncomfortable, but think about the people that have been left out of our society when it comes to the permanent collection. And so we are no longer want to be bamboozled by exhibitions are highlighted with different programs. We want to be in the permanent collection.
Archie, do you think even more important than getting in the permanent collection, we have to start getting Black participation as curators and as directors of museums? That those are the people that make the decisions. And it's almost like it has to start there. Because some of this stuff is so ingrained. I don't know if it'll ever change until we get, there was an article, and it's an article you sent to me about representation in major United States museums. And I'm just going to take a break and
that was the one with the Williams?
Yeah, the 18 major U.S. museums.
Right.
The lack of parity in the museum collections. 85.4% were white artists. 87.4% were men. African-American artists had the lowest share, 1.2%. Asian artists, 9%. And Hispanic, Latino, 2.8%. And then they go on and they talked about an interesting artist, Mona Chalabi, who's doing art about this issue. Those percentages are pretty shocking. And it's not just Black artists. It's Latino, Hispanic, and even women artists. And the funny thing is, it's not that there's a lack of artists. Like the list I could go through of just contemporary and modern artists who are Black, when you talk about people, and they're major artists, their work is well known internationally. People like Kara Walker, and the list goes on. Glenn Ligon, Martin Puryear.
It's astounding.
Well, the artists are there. The work is of quality, and it's been around for a long time. So why isn't it there?
Well, you do have people now more than ever in position. You have Black directors. You have I'm an advisor at the Rose Art Museum now.
Oh, cool!
Something that I just got appointed to January 1st. So you have to have people in there and people willing to speak up. But what I find is that many people don't speak up. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Barbara Sizemore.
Yeah.
Well, she says, and I love her phrase, she calls it, what those people have, the Black people in position to do something, they have the scared Negro disease. That's exactly what they have. And I agree with that 100%. Because, as she put it, they're worried about paying a note for their Lexus, paying the notes for their mortgages, and so forth and so on. And so they won't open their mouth and say anything. Well, I've been speaking up and standing up since I was 3 years old, and I will always. There is no job on God's earth that will stop me from speaking my truth and doing something for others. It's what we do for others that make a better society, and not just looking at our personal gains, because all of us, every one of us, is standing on the shoulders of so many great people, and they went through so much so we could be in position to make a difference as well. And we need to do that. We need to stand up and be counted. And I'm tired of these little, I don't celebrate Black History Month. I would never celebrate Black History Month. I respect those that do. I'm Black 365 days a year. I celebrate my art, Black artists, brown artists, art in general, 365 days a year. And that's how it should be looked upon. I really believe that. And I there's members of our team that feel differently, but this is my personal feeling. And now that I talk about difference, the other thing that bothers me when it comes to Black artists, they think that all Black artists do the same type of work.
Oh, yeah.
Or either they want to see, if it comes to photography, they want to see Black people in angst, fists in the air, protesting, burning things. Well, that's important also, but we do other things too, things that have a different aesthetic, like my work. My work is quiet.
I love your work. Your work is highly aesthetic. A lot of it is inspired by architecture and design. And it's beautiful.
I'll come back to that.
Yeah, okay. But it swings. There's a movement to it. It's not political in the averse sense, and I think that's what people are looking at. They want to look for the angry black, you know, moment, and then they can say that they did their duty and move on.
Yes, yes. But I think that's what the white audience look for, and they think that, you know, we all work in the same mode. Some of our work is steeped in our culture. Some is not. I mean, we do abstract work as well.
Yeah.
All kinds of work. We want to be afforded the same opportunity and aesthetically as white artists. And that's all we're asking. That's all I'm asking.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Archie LaSalle. He's an artist, social activist, educator, and we've been talking about a lot of things, including the project titled Where Are All the Black People At? Archie, is there a website people can go to find out more information about where are all the black people at?
Yes, it's whereareallthablackpeopleat.com.
Thank you for that.
So the follow-up to that is we're in plain sight. So you will go around the city and you see these stickers up from supermarkets.
Well, suppose people wanted some stickers. Can they get them?
Yes, you can contact us at whereareallthablackpeopleat@gmail.com. We also have T-shirts for sale. They're $40. It says on the front, where are all the black people at? And on the back, it says in plain sight. They're black T-shirts with white lettering. So,
I'll tell you an essay that you sent me that will really, for people who aren't sort of into the problem that we're talking about, Dr. Kelly Morgan wrote a really good essay about white supremacy in art museums.
Yes.
And that should be required reading. That was like one of those things that, of course, it's going to get people angered, but that's a good thing. But it's about why it is that way and actually how she feels working within institutions, which is what she does. I mean, she basically has PTSD. Mm-hmm. But she talks about how it's a whole... She talks about the history of art museums, and that's the important thing, is because they were designed originally as exclusive and exclusionary institutions. They were not meant for everybody.
And they're still pretty much that way, I think.
Yeah, they pretend they're not, but that's what they really want to do.
They are about power and money and showing their power and money. Now, speaking of the art institutions, I think that every director, every curator, every board member should go out into the community, in the community where their museums are housed, and they should do that once a month. Now, they could go to, I would say, you could go to after-school programs.
Yep.
You could go to places of worship. You could go to youth centers, and you should go there once a month. Now, if you go there for 3 or 4 months and nobody shows up, or one person shows up, or two or three people show up, that's fine, because you've had it this way for 400 and something years. And I say that, take the Peabody Essex Museum. They're the second oldest museum in the country. And when I was doing some research around the Peabody Essex Museum to see how many people of color work that they had in the permanent collection, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they have 40,000 pieces of work from Asia. And they only had 4 pieces of photography, 4 pieces in their permanent collection. And that's appalling. And I also say, you take the George Eastman House Museum, which is, I just found just amazing when we was doing the research around that. I mean, you're talking 400,000 photographic images. And out of the 400,000, there was only something like 156 images from black photographers. That is absolutely outrageous. And there was 14,000 photographers.
Oh, my God.
And only 22 of them were black.
Is it? No, okay. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you think it's just ignorance, or is it purpose purposeful exclusion, or is it a combination of both, or is it just wanting to do the same thing and not rock the boat or do anything different?
Well, here I put together this little sort of I call it either museum poker playing five or either the black artist, the black and brown artist gauntlet to the museums. Now, here's what we are faced with. The first thing they do is they are disrespectful, they're dismissive, they're arrogant, they're ignorant, and the coup de grace is systemic racism. That's what we have to deal with. And it's going to take some major effort, both inside and outside. And you cannot clean up those 194 years or the 402 years, whichever, however, how far you want to go in the past is up to you. But it's a full-time commitment. And I say to people, and I say to pretty much at every interview I give and every conversation that I have, I say, what are you doing personally to fight systemic racism? What are you doing in your personal life? What are you doing on your job? What are you doing in your social life and with your family? How are you fighting systemic racism? And this is something that I address every day, and I'm fighting against it. Now, I don't go out. It's not like you're yelling and screaming. It's little things that you do. It's even if it's saying hello to a person from another culture, helping someone. It doesn't all have to be around the arts, which I'm deeply invested in. But it's like you ask yourself, what are you doing to fight systemic racism? It's just like breathing. It's important that we do this. And I'm so glad that I taught for 40-something years, 40 yeah, yeah. years. You know? And so those are some of the things that we have to ask. And speaking of teaching, when I started at Cambridge Oriental Latin School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that school is the second oldest school in the country. It was 1648. And when I started there, that was one of the deputy superintendents came running to me and said, oh, my God, it's true. You're here. You're here. You're the first. And I'm thinking, what is she talking about? And so what she was saying was, I was the first non-white art teacher that that school has ever had. And I started there in 1993.
Whoa.
Okay? And so they were celebrating at the time they was getting ready for their 350th anniversary of being an art institution. And they had me speak. They said, oh, because I came from France and I came back, thought I was only going to be there for a semester, which that semester turned into like 27 years or so. And so I started doing a little research also. And so when I went on stage to speak, they introduced me as this world-renowned artist, does all of this excellent work and so forth. And I said, my first words were, yes, I'm appalled. I find myself working at another racist institution. I dare you not hire more people of color, and especially black and brown artists. We have 16 art teachers at that school. 16. We have 8 individual arts and 8 in the performing arts. And so I said, I know this is probably my last week of working here. And this was like the first week I was there. This is what I said to them. It is like, you need to do something about this. And so what I did was went around to the different guidance counselors. Very few black and brown kids was taking art classes. I mean, we're talking about the school where Matt Damon and Ben Affleck went to, Patrick Ewing went to. So this is a really high-powered school. And so it wasn't that black and brown kids couldn't take classes. They never felt welcome in the classroom. And so what you have is you had 350-something years of students getting a white perspective when it came to art. People need to see people that look like them, that act like them, talk like them, or something, dress like them, maybe, or something. And so this school has about 68% of the student body is black or brown. And as I always say, depending on how the Portuguese want to be counted, it could go up to as much as 72%. And so it was my job each and every day to ask, where are all the black people at, and to do something about it. And so while I was there, I was able to make sure that at least five or six people was hired that are black or brown. And when you're sitting in a staff meeting and there's 28 people in the room and you're the only non-white person at the meeting, and when you ask the question, where is all the black people at, and you see everyone, they sort of look down, look to the right, look to the left, and then, well, moving right along, the next thing on the agenda is, it's like, oh, wait a minute, you didn't answer my question. So I made it my business to go out and hire people, well, have the administration hire people of color, because it's important, you know, and that's in your face. It's not something that, well, you understand what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but the thing is, that's what people need to do. It doesn't matter who you are. You walk into an art museum and you don't see representation. Ask a question. You know, send a note, send a letter to a curator or to the director of the museum and ask them that. I recommend, again, Dr. Kelly Morgan's To Bear Witness, Real Talk About White Supremacy in Art Museums a lot. She ends her essay, which is very powerful. What would it look like if communities of color, the disabled, LGBTQ, were prioritized at every level of an institution alongside white upper and middle class communities? And that really asks a very basic question. It would be a very different institution and a really interesting institution. I think it would be a better institution. And it, like I said, I think the artwork would be phenomenal to be able to see all that artwork I'm not seeing now. And that's the least you can do. Can you go, we're just, again, we're out of time. Can you give out that website again?
It's whereareallthebackpeopleat.com.
Okay. And people can get stickers there?
They can order stickers. The stickers are $1 each.
Cool.
And the T-shirts are $40.
Archie, we're going to have you back because we never got a chance to talk to you about your own work, and I promise you we're going to do that. My guest tonight has been Archie LaSalle, artist, social activist, educator, and we've been talking about a lot of things, but Where Are All the Black People At is the organization. Remember that and go to the website. Archie, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.